Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Scott Hartnell is going to join the show at 12:30. A last gasp tonight for the Flyers trying to make the postseason. Daily Mock 1 hour from now with a guy that's pretty plugged in. We'll tell you who has the Eagles taking 1 hour from right now. And, of course, a lot to discuss here. Between the Phillies lineup, is this actually a good lineup? And do you fear Jimmy Butler? Plus, should Jack's name be on the afternoon show? I mean, there's a lot of debate going on around here as the new afternoon show starts today with Spike and Jack and Mike this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Very excited for those guys.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, very excited for Spike to be back here. It's just going to be awesome having him, and that show is going to be great. No matter what they call it, it will be a great show. Hopefully, a week from now, we have a great draft pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. And there's been a lot of chatter around here, Hugh, about offensive line. Would it be smart to draft an offensive lineman in the first round? Ross Tucker this morning was on with DeCameron Ritchie talking about that and kind of an interesting perspective from a former offensive lineman on what it would mean if they took one.
I think on some level, let's just be honest, guys. If they take an offensive lineman in the first round, on some level, they're admitting that Steen was not a great high third round pick.
I would agree with that.
And that's okay. You know, third round picks, you can't, I mean, people want all these guys to start, all these guys to be good players. There's a bunch of third round picks in the NFL that never play a snap. We lose sight of that a lot. That's okay. If Steen is Jack Driscoll, if Steen is the backup guard tackle for the next 3 years on a rookie contract, there's still some value there. It would just be to me, I mean, he was a high third round pick. It'd be a little bit disappointing if that's the route that they go. I do think Steen could start at right guard. I guess it's interesting. I wasn't there every day. I just go based on what we saw in the preseason and those snaps he got. But it doesn't feel like we're hearing the same type of buzz
No.
about Steen behind the scenes.
Well, that's true. We're not. It's not like Steen is being talked up. And I think that's why there's a lot of people out there that think they're going to take an offensive lineman. Hugh, I think it would be smart to take an offensive lineman for a couple of reasons. One, I'm unsure of Steen. That's mm-hmm. a big hole in the offensive line. And two, this is what they draft early in drafts. Like sometimes you kind of got to do what you do well, right? Every organization kind of does something well.
Go to your bread and butter.
Yeah, like the Steelers develop linebackers and receivers and whatnot. Like the Eagles, in the last 30 years, I would guess, without looking it up, 75% of their first-round picks have been offense or defensive linemen, maybe with some quarterbacks thrown in.
That's been kind of the staple of the Philadelphia Eagles over the years.
I think it's smart if they are unsure at right guard, and obviously we know that Lane isn't young, that they take a player that could play now at guard and then eventually maybe move out to tackle when Lane is on. I'm not going to get upset next Friday when we come on the air if they take an offensive lineman.
I'm not going to get upset either, but I think that when you look at – and it also validates for me where I think or what I've been saying since I've been here. Luxury, not a necessity.
Oh, offense?
Yeah.
And defense?
I mean, defense. Defense is luxury, not a necessity. And it if you're going out to get somebody – that you're talking about potentially not playing this year, then that to me is like I don't have a problem with offensive linemen, but when you look at some of the other holes, it just kind of validates my parking sticker when I think about how this team feels about this defense.
They don't prioritize it. I mean, no. Obviously they do not. Look, I would prefer defense. I think that's where they should go. If they end up on an offensive lineman, it's probably going to work because that's what the Eagles do and have done for a long time, and they prioritize it, and they keep the pipeline going here. Kyle, of course, does not think this would be a smart idea.
Yeah, I'm the only one with a brain back here. Like the Eagles,
I like how it goes to straight personal attack.
Well, it is. This is getting ridiculous. The Eagles have put themselves in a position where they have a major need on the back end, the secondary, the cornerback position specifically. I'm going to use a phrase that I don't think anyone would ever think would be associated with an offensive lineman. Luxury pick. The Eagles have a set offensive line. They don't need to spend the 22nd pick on a depth piece, a guy who may or may not start at guard, and a guy who may or may not be eventually able to take over for Lane Johnson, what, 2-3 years down the line? We have 2 second-round picks, and I don't know. I feel like that's where the Eagles, like, you mentioned that this is what the Eagles do. They draft offensive linemen high. Not very successfully, except when they had Lane Johnson, who was the number 4 overall pick. Like, their history drafting at this spot, offensive line, has been bad. Actually, their most success drafting these offensive linemen has been with Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, both second-round picks.
Yeah, later.
Later on. I mean, they have Jeff Stoutland here. They don't need to waste a 22nd overall pick on a guy who might not even be starting in year one. In a year, they're in a Super Bowl window right now. They need guys who can come in and contribute immediately and make impact, be playmakers.
So, but you said they have the offensive line set. I don't know if that's the case. I have no idea if Tyler Steen's going to be able to play well. He started one game.
He's not your left tackle. He's not the center.
I understand, this is the guard we're talking about. But one spot on the offense, you know, the weak link could be exploited. One player could make the whole thing from really good to maybe not really
good. Why do I need to use the 22nd overall pick on that guy? We can use a second and a fourth on, if we really want to load up the depth on this offensive line, we can use our mid to late round picks. I need a guy in the first round who is going to make immediate impact on a team that can win the Super Bowl this year.
It's a good chance that he can make an immediate impact. And I still think, even if they took an offensive lineman, I still believe that they're in their Super Bowl window by some of the offensive weapons they've acquired so far.
You're not going to be in a Super Bowl window if James Bradbury starting a corner.
Well,
you're just not. Sorry.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But guess what? You're not going to get the return on the Saquon Barkley investment if the interior of the offensive line isn't as good as we think it is. Like, they lost Jason Kelce this offseason. We've poo-pooed this like an all-pro and walk out the door. I don't know if Cam Jurgens is going to be a very good center. We'll see.
Well, you know what they did? They took Cam Jurgens to replace him in the second round.
They did.
Right.
But he's a quite you said.
Yeah, and he's been out. He's more of a proven veteran. Now, since from the time that
I mean, barely. Like, look,
he hasn't played center, but he knows.
I'm not saying he's.
Are we positive this is going to be a tremendous offensive line? Right now, I am not.
I think they're going to be good.
I got 3 guys that I know right now are going to be good. That's 2 spots that I. You could tell me right now Cam Jurgens is an average center, and I say, okay. Or you could say he's really good. I don't know yet.
They have.
And I don't know at right guard. So if there's a chance to get a top-level player in the first round, I think that's a smart idea.
The worry is the right guard spot. They have Tyler Steen. They have Matt Hennessy. And let's add a second-round pick who can compete for that spot.
Matt Hennessy is definitely
Like, you might have 3 capable bodies to compete for that right guard spot. That's perfectly fine with me. Why am I using a 22nd overall pick on that?
Well, there's also not much depth here. So you're saying the compete, well, what if someone else gets hurt? Then we're down to Matt Hennessy starting and Fred Johnson?
But it's a luxury pick because we're talking about depth.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but you need that. It's the most important unit on the team outside the quarterback.
It's a luxury, not a necessity.
I'm telling you right now, listen, we could pay all these receivers and all these running backs. It's not going to work if the offensive line isn't upright. It's not going to work.
This is all going to be predicated on what our quarterback does.
But like, he needs time.
He does need time, and I think that this offensive line is going to be good enough to give him this time. But, would I like a first-round draft pick to be a defender? Somebody that's going to come in and play immediately? Yes, I would. But I would not have a problem with offensive linemen if they pick one.
Yeah, I think it would be. So my preference is defense, but the next smartest pick would be offensive line. They need it. They have a lack of depth there. I have a question mark at right guard. There seems to be this whole thing like anti-offensive line now, as if the Eagles don't build through the offensive line.
Well, it's a lot of times, and a lot of teams, their philosophy is, you know, if you want a good offensive line, you go get that from somebody else's squad. Like, a lot of times. That was kind of like the philosophy for the Atlanta Falcons. The only one they took was that he was there for a long time. Can't think of his name. His dad played
Matthews,
a long time. Bruce Matthews.
Jake Matthews.
The
Eagles have done the opposite here. They drafted Mailata. They drafted, obviously, Dickerson, Kelce, Lane. I mean, they had some guys that brought in, like Brandon Brooks a couple years ago, more than that now. And he was great for a period of time. But I wouldn't be angry. I won't be upset if they take an offensive lineman. I think it'd be a smart pick. Kyle, of course, thinks not. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines. A lot to discuss here. Lamar in West Philly talking Jimmy Butler. What's up, Lamar? Lamar, you with us, pal? Lamar go once. Lamar goes back on hold.
Sounded like he was in the car with his blinkers.
I did hear that. Bill's in Vineland. Hey, Bill.
Loud ass blinkers.
What's up, Bill?
First comment is on the new show. Spike and Ike with Jack.
Spike and Ike with Jack.
Yes.
Okay. That's simple, easy. So you like Spike and Ike, and not Ike and Spike? You like the Spike first, then the Ike?
I think Spike sounds better than. I mean, not no offense, not.
No, no, no. No, I think you're right. It's all about the sound. We're just looking for the best sound here.
Yes. And I think that the Sixers, you can't play nobody scared. You got to recognize everybody knows Jimmy Phelps is a good player, but you just got to make him work. You got to recognize how good you've been playing lately and what your team doing, all the shooters you have, but you can't play a game scared.
Bill, I agree with you on that. You cannot. Now, I don't expect them to be scared, and Bill, good phone call. I'm scared. Like, I'll be the fraidy cat. I'll be the baby. I'm scared of Jimmy Butler.
Fraidy cat.
Yeah, look, I don't expect Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey to feel afraid of Jimmy Butler tomorrow night. They shouldn't. They're competitors, and I hope they're ready to go. And I think they will be ready to go. And they have a championship coach, and they've won 8 in a row, and they're at home. They shouldn't fear the Heat. I'm going to fear Jimmy Butler.
Because you're looking at Jimmy Butler's past, and then you're looking at Joel Embiid's past.
Well, even now, Jimmy Butler had a career high in three-point percentage. He's still playing at a high level.
No, he is. Jimmy Butler, he's a beast. In the playoffs, Jimmy, like the way he's wheeled teams that he's been on into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we have the better player. The better player on the court is Joel Embiid.
But that doesn't mean you win the game. I mean, everyone's been telling me Joel Embiid's the best player on the court in a lot of playoff series. He doesn't win those series.
No, but I think this is different. And to Howard's point, I didn't say Joel Embiid is a leader. But I do believe that the guys that they're playing with, they're going to defer to him and make sure that, you know, there's no going to be a discussion about who is going to be the guy that straw that stirs the drink. Mm. And that's why it's going to be a better fit for everybody, because everybody's going to gravitate towards him. He's like the sun, and they're all like the planets evolving around him a little bit.
Well, and you know, he's had a tremendous season, and he's come back and he's played at a higher level than I thought. I'm not worried that Joel is not going to play a good game tomorrow night. Now, will it be good enough? I hope. I mean,
I think it will be.
They're favored by 4.5 points. They should win the game. It's Butler and the Sixers. I'm not sure how they defend him tomorrow night. They don't have a player that matches up great with Jimmy Butler.
I think it'll probably be like just off the top, maybe a combination of Tyrese and maybe
I don't want Oubre. Tyrese guarding him. I mean, I guess Oubre size-wise fits, but they don't have the right guy. I mean, so DeAnthony Melton would make the most sense, but he's had back issues. I don't know how much he could give them. It's a weird matchup where I think Jimmy's going to be able to get his stuff. I mean, get his points. I mean, he's going to be able to get 30 if he needs to get 30. It's a matter of the Sixers being more efficient, not turning the ball over, and outscoring them. 215-592-9494. All right, on the subject of this draft situation here with the Philadelphia Eagles, both you and I think an offensive lineman would be a smart pick in the first round. My preference is defense. I think offensive lineman would be smart. This was interesting from Derek Gunn here, talking about the idea of what kind of players are they going to take, and are the Eagles looking for players that could play right now, or are they just looking for the best prospect? Here's D. Gunn.
There's no audio.
Oh, sorry about that.
I gave
you
an article.
I'm sorry about that. All right.
I was about to say, we're about to talk. Drop some signs.
I got the quote. That's on me. All right.
What is wrong with him?
Quote. I will tell you.
It's the day back. He just got back.
Well, no. There's a little discrepancy. It's on me. That's my bad. On me.
I'm sitting here like, is he about to set up a
con? I will tell you this from what I know. This is a quote from D-Gun. I will tell you this from what I know from talking to people on the inside. The first couple of picks they draft this year, they want players that could come in and play now. They don't want project players. They have a lot of room. There's a lot of jobs wanted for that defense.
Ooh.
You like that?
Yeah.
I don't.
Because you know why? It plays into this narrative I've been trying to tell y'all folks about the whole time I've been here. Let these young Thundercats play, man. Let them play. Why are you looking at me like I'm good? Crazy.
Because if you're looking for players to play right now, I think
you're asking
for trouble.
You think it's a bad scenario?
Well,
I don't think so.
I think the Eagles should be looking to draft the best players for the long term, not just for this year. I mean, guys, we got a head coach on the hot seat, and we're going into a season with a lot of question marks. I think you pass up good players for the future if you're worried about today. Like, you want ideally both, right? A guy that could come in and then get better and better. I just hope they don't draft someone for need for this year, reach, and then we pass up on a player that might be better down the line.
I don't think at 22. Okay, let's talk about this 22nd pick for a minute. I don't think at 22nd that you're actually reaching for a player. I think you're going to get a good player. Say, for instance, like I've said, I don't have a problem if they get an offensive lineman at that position because at that pick, because I feel like there's going to be an opportunity for him to contribute if they decide to go that route. I would not have a problem with that because I've been kind of looking at this the way that D-Gun's been hearing it the whole time. Like, whatever you do, if you pick a player that high on this team, they're going to have to contribute immediately. But now let's switch it to the defensive side of the ball. Say if they took a corner at that position. It's a corner that's going to – I think it's a consensus that says that he's going to probably play immediately when you talk about – the Bradbury situation. So that I'm okay with that.
Sure.
Defensive tackle. You talk about the fact that Fletcher Cox has retired, and we need a little bit more pass rush presence in the middle, not knowing what this defense is going to look like up front. I have no problem with that. Pass rusher, same thing. Like the more pass rushes we have, the better this team is going to be. I would even venture to say with those first three picks, Joe, that we're probably going to have some guys out there that are going to be immediate contributors.
Well, you would think, yeah. Asking rookies to play a lot is not, it's not a great strategy. It's just rare that rookies play a lot on championship kind of teams.
Yeah, but it's the new norm. I mean, it's starting to be more prevalent in the NFL, and that's what you had to do. I look at this team like this, Joe, and I've been trying to tell y'all this for weeks. This team is going to live and die with your quarterback. I think Warren Sapp said it when I sent y'all that video that nobody even acknowledged or talked about.
It was the weekend.
I get it. I understand.
I watched it.
But it was like he told you, defenses nowadays don't matter like they used to. It's your $100 million quarterback. You go out there and you ask him to win you football games.
Yeah, but if everyone has a $100 million quarterback, isn't it going to go back to the defense then?
No, it goes to the $100 million.
All these quarterbacks are good.
We gave Jalen Hurts $250 million. You know what they told Jalen Hurts this year? Better get it done. Like, they didn't say you better get it done, but they were like, they said it probably nicer than that. We would like you to get it done because we went out and got you a running back. You know, we signed you. You got the two receivers. I remember having a conversation with somebody. And they kept telling me that there's never been two receivers on the team that made $100 million. Well, guess what? That dog hunting now. We have that. We've had that now.
Yeah, they do.
So everything has changed. So all of that, I say all that to say this. This is on Jalen Hurts this year, whether it's fair or not. And I know that there are probably some people in the car listening right now talking about, it's not fair because we didn't do nothing to this defense. Because you gave your quarterback all the money. You gave your receivers all the money.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. They've invested all the money on offense.
Yes, and so this offense has to, on average, you know, they have to score about 30 points a game, Joe. 30.
I think there's a better chance they average 30 points a game than the Phillies.
I knew it was coming. So he was going to let me slide.
I can't. Let me throw this stat at you. Shio Kapati had this. Really interesting. Last 5 years, only 37.2% of drafted rookies played 300 snaps in their rookie year. So roughly that's 17 snaps per game. So 37%. So the Eagles have three picks in the first 53. If this average holds, only one of them is going to play a decent amount of snaps as a rookie. Now, the Eagles might force them out there. But the point is, that's why I don't want to just draft for need. I need to draft for, you better think the player is going to be great down the line. Like I think we're approaching this. If the Eagles are approaching this, they got to find starters in the first round or two for this year, not future starters, but this year. That's looking at it a little wrong to me.
I don't look at it the way that you're looking at it, but I understand. I think that when you draft, like with that first pick, I look at it like this, Joe. Say if we took a corner. I'm looking at that corner to be projected to be at least a 10-year starter, like in their minds. Now, we don't know, you know, injuries happen, factors, but I look at it like they're drafting that guy to be
here a long time.
I mean, that's how you look at it. That's how I look at it. And anybody that you get after that is a plus.
Well, that's why I'm not so worried about just filling a need for this year, because it's a long-term play. If you get it right, you got a guy for a long time that hopefully could help you. That's why I'm not going to just squeeze a player in because we need it now. I think that's how you make mistakes like Rager over Jefferson. They wanted a speed guy. They wanted a slot guy instead of just taking the best player.
For Howie, he needs to clean up that blind spot, because you're talking about being in a position, in a situation where you better hit on that first pick. He has to come out. And he has to flash in training camps. He has to flash almost immediately, because you're probably going to be in a situation. Like, if we got a corner, we all know that guy is probably going to be the starter. So he has to be one of those guys, Kool-Aid McKendry or the young Cooper DeJean or somebody like that. He has to be out there, and he has to be contributing immediately. And the coaching staff has to do everything in their power to get them up to speed. That's why when I tell stories about my first year in the league, man, like I was starting probably game 5, 6, but I was rotating in. Like, I was rotating in at the beginning of the season because there was an immediate need at that position where I had to start. So Donald Evans was the starter, but I would start to rotate into the games and everything. And that's why Sugar Bear, my coach, set me down every day and made sure that I knew what I was supposed to do and taught me the defense, because there was an immediate need for me to play at 16, at the 16th pick.
Right.
And Kyle Brady was already, like, when they drafted Kyle Brady, he was already out there. So he was the starter, like, along with Johnny Mitchell, because he was the other tight end. So he was integrated into that offense almost immediately, and they had to bring me along. That's what coaching does, man. We didn't have that. And I feel like strongly about that. No, it wasn't Rich. No, yeah, Rich was the coach, and then it was Parcells. You're right. I was thinking the defensive coordinator was Jim Vicarillo, but we didn't have that. We didn't have that last year as an Eagles team. We didn't have good coaching, man. So I'm looking at Coach Nonet, Coach Hurt, and all them guys. Whoever we decide to get in the defensive room, who's coaching them DBs up, you have to get these guys ready to play. And if that means you have to work a little bit extra to do that, then damn it, so be it.
Well, they got it,
because we're in a Super Bowl window. We're in a Super Bowl window.
With this defense?
Yes. And this team, this quarterback. This quarterback has to be coached hard. Like, I'm not, like, regardless of who we get, the mission for me hasn't changed. Super Bowl or bust. I'm trying to get to New Orleans, man. It's not about me. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's about me.
It sounds like it's about
you. It's not. But I'm just saying, it's a Super Bowl or bust.
So I hear you keep worrying about this defense, Joe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I think we all agree they need a corner.
Yes.
What do you think the Eagles have a better chance of hitting on? A corner in the first and an O lineman in the later rounds, or the reverse, an offensive lineman and then a corner in the later rounds? What do you think the Eagles have a better chance of hitting on successfully?
Well, I mean, probably just based on the way you framed it, probably the corner early, offensive lineman later. But they also haven't taken a corner in a long time. Their evaluation of corners stinks.
Yeah,
it stinks.
So then why are we going to make it harder on them? Their evaluation of offensive linemen
is a lot better. Because I want to get the first-round pick right. So, like, if you tell me, what do you trust them to pick more? I trust them to pick an offensive lineman. I want a corner. I mean, I've told you, Cooper DeJean is the guy. I've been trying to tell you. Cooper DeJean is the guy they should take there. I'm imagining Mitchell and Arnold are off the board. So now we're going down to the third corner or safety, whatever you think he is. I'd go with him. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here. A lot to discuss between the Phillies lineup. Just feels average to me. It feels like we keep waiting for it to be good. I think it's going to end up average. Pitching's going to carry the day. Is this a good lineup that we actually have with the Phillies? And let's get set here on this side for tonight. The last gasp for the Flyers. Scott Hartnell's going to join us. What do the Flyers need? What does he expect? And what does he think of this season, even if they don't make the playoffs? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94. WIP. Bet the NBA play-in tournament. No sweat, same-game parlay for FanDuel. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any Tuesday night NBA matchup. NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. All right, in the West, I like the Lakers and I like the Warriors to both win. Give me the over in the Lakers game as well. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas Show, Jill. It's the Midday Show. Coming up at 1, the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock, as we are now just 9 days away from the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. Eagles, of course, hold the 22nd pick in the first round. Today's an interesting one. We'll tell you who they pick, and it comes from an insider that's pretty plugged in here. So we'll get to that coming up at 1. And I think there's a prospect out there. I heard him discussed this morning on WIP. Hugh might be out on when he hears something. So we'll get to all that coming up and your phone calls. But right now, let's go out to the guest line and chat with Scott Hartnell as the Flyers tonight need some things to go their way for a shot at the playoffs, the final night of the regular season. Scott, how you doing today, man?
Scott.
I'm great. What a day here. It's always sunny in Philly, right?
Yeah, it's a wonderful day. But, Scott, I want to talk about something that was going on a few days ago. Like, I know you went on a two-game winning streak, but what happened during that eight-game stretch where it was just bad for the Flyers?
It was more than bad. It was ugly. There's a lot of other adjectives you can use as well. It was just poor.
You're right. You're right over there, Scott. Sound like you're right. You sound like you failed.
No. I just threw my sticks. I was just skating with my son at the rink in Voorhees, so I just threw it in the truck.
Oh, cool.
My bad.
Cool. No, that's cool.
No, but they were bad. There was no structure. There was no nothing. It was just poor everything. Whatever went wrong could go wrong, and unfortunately, it led to 8 losses and them not controlling their own destiny.
So, Scott, as we go towards tonight and the scenarios here, so Detroit needs to go 1-1, Pittsburgh needs to go 1-1, Washington needs to go 1-1 or 0-2, and obviously the Flyers can win this game tonight against the Capitals. Scott, let's start with tonight, the game against the Capitals, Flyers-Capitals. Tell us about your thoughts on this particular game. Obviously, this is where it starts. If the Flyers are going to make it, they need to take care of their own business. What do you think about this matchup against Washington tonight?
It's going to be great. It's going to be electric, right? It's Flyers have to win in regulation. So if it's a tie ball game in the last couple minutes, you know, Torts is going to have to pull the goalie, which is you hardly ever see that, which will be awesome. It's 3 games in 4 nights for the Capitals. The Flyers have had a couple days of rest, a good practice yesterday, and so they should be rested and ready to go and ready to go like gangbusters right out of the cannon, right? So, Pittsburgh and Detroit have 1 game left. They have to lose in regulation or, you know, we're screwed. So yeah, the stars need to align, but, you know, it doesn't happen if you don't take care of business tonight.
Regardless to what happens tonight, how would you view this season when it's all said and done?
The worst part of it, the 8-game losing streak was right at the end of the year, right? So that leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth. But, you know, from all the so-called experts picking us to be second, third, fourth, last in the whole NHL, and, you know, we're fighting down to literally game 82, last day of the season, and we have a chance to get in. So it's with some kind of ups and downs throughout the year, you know, the losing Carter Hart and, you know, Sam Harrison taking control of the net, he had a fabulous year you know, the young guys took some strides. You know, the defense, I think that was probably the biggest question mark for me. You know, coming into the season, you get a first rounder for Sean Walker. You know, Steelers re-signs, and you know, other guys stepped up and had some good years. So I look at it all positive, and that's just kind of the way I look at it. Yeah,
Scott, how would you assess the job? And tonight, obviously, will go a long way to, for us to how we feel about the season. But how would you assess the job that John Tortorella did this year? Obviously, you know him very well in a different perspective, but from your role now, watching him with this particular team, how would you assess the job that Tortorella did with this group?
He's done a great job of getting everyone on the same page, you know, not just the players, but the staff and management, and you know, kind of everyone has one goal, right? And that's to play the right way with structure, you know, being honest, you know, good people in that locker room. You know, the one, you know, a couple things for me is the power play. Well, last, I think it's kind of worst ever, actually, if since they started keeping the power play stats. I think in 77, 78 they started. I think it's the worst ever. So that's a huge question mark for me. They don't have that huge playmaker like a Panarin or a Crosby or, you know, McDavid, guys like that. But, you know, you should be able to get a few more goals during the year on that power play. Penalty kill has been amazing, you know, top three in the league. You know, I think he's done a great job of getting kind of the most out of what he has in the lineup. So, you know, there's no question marks for me about him being back next year. And, you know, maybe the Sean Couturier, you know, I don't know if you want to call it saga, but, you know, naming him captain and then, you know, a few weeks later he's, you know, scratched for a couple games in a row and ice is limited and stuff like that. So, you know, he's probably our best centerman, and I think you need him to get out there and, in all different situations to, you know, get his game going.
Scott, let's play it out. Let's say it all happens. Let's say all the scenarios play out and this, you know, whatever, 7% chance actually comes to fruition and the Flyers make the playoffs. What kind of chance would you give them in the first round to make some noise here? You know, in other sports, it's like, well, you're an eighth seed or you're the final seed. You don't really have a chance. Hockey, we know, Scott, we've seen it many times, where a team comes from the bottom and gets on a run. If they make it in, if they get in tonight, how do you think they would play and how do you think they'd match up in the playoffs?
Well, I think their first-round opponent would be, I think, 100% sure would be the Rangers, right? And they just played literally their best game of the year 2 games ago in Madison Square Garden, right? So the last few years have been awful for the Fly guys in MSG, but they had that huge win that they needed to win, and so it's all about good vibes and how you're feeling and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's it would be a kind of a cool opportunity. They got nothing to lose, right? And that's probably the best thing about a dangerous, desperate hockey club in the playoffs. It's like, we got absolutely nothing to lose. Let's play our balls off and go get out there and try and create a huge upset.
Well, and you know what that's about, because we've seen the Flyers, you know, back in 2010 do something very similar last day of the season, and then a run took off from there. Scott, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be watching tonight, and hopefully things break the Flyers' way, get a victory. And who knows, maybe we have something fun to talk about the next few weeks. Thank you, Scott.
I'll be coming back if we're back, if we're in the playoffs, 100%.
Appreciate you.
Sounds good. There he goes, Scott Hartnell. You'll see him tonight on the broadcast. We appreciate him hopping on. So tonight, Hugh, they need a win. They need a couple things to break their way. And then this, it's amazing because we all kind of pronounced them fully dead last week, right? Before they went and beat the Rangers, it felt like their chances had fully died. And we could be fair. It's a slim chance that it all happens exactly the way they need tonight. But, Hugh, it's kind of fun that we could turn it on tonight and they have a shot.
Yeah, but I'm looking at some of these clinching scenarios, Joe. It's that the one thing I used to always hate as a former player, a professional sports, is not being able to control your own destiny.
Right.
Kind of like the Sixers were in the other night. Wasn't in control of the destiny. Had to wait to see what other people do. This is this exact same thing. There's a lot that has to go right in order for you to get where you need to be.
Well, we've seen, I mean, the most famous one, probably in my memory, is the Eagles in 2008, right? Last day of the season, they needed all those things to go right. They needed to beat the Cowboys here. They beat them 44-3, and then they had to have everything else had to go their way in that particular Sunday, and it did. And they made the playoffs, and they got on a run. I mean, it always seems to work out that way, that when a team gets all the things that break their way and they get in, it's almost, I don't know what it is, you play with house money or you just like, you have nothing to lose. But we'll see. I mean, the number one thing is they need to win tonight. If they win tonight, they've got a chance. If they don't, obviously, it's all over. We'll be rooting for them tonight. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. A lot to discuss between the Phillies, this lineup, the Sixers with Jimmy Butler coming in tomorrow night. And, of course, the new afternoon show debuts at 2 o'clock.
The debut.
I can't wait for it. Ken is at Cinemits. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, What's up, Ken. Man? What's up?
So, I do think Jack deserves to have his name on the show. And I kind of like, you know, Ike, Jack, and the guy who hired Josh Innes.
If my memory serves, Ken, I don't think he did. I think it back to all those years ago. I don't believe Spike was the one that hired Josh. He worked with him, and he was here, but I don't think he did the hiring on that one.
Then Ike, Jack, and the Nepo baby. How about that one? Does that work?
Well, I don't love that one either. But I do. When we invite these kind of conversations, you're going to get those. Ken, what do you think on the Phillies here?
Look, I think when the season plays out, right? So we're not. If they were winning 12-11 every game they won, we'd be complaining that their pitching's terrible and they can't win just by out slugging people. And now they're winning because their pitching is doing very well,
mm-hmm.
and they're just not hitting yet. And so now we're worried that they can't win by pitching. Well, I thought pitching was the way to win long term in Major League Baseball. I think when you get to the end of a 162 game marathon season, the guys in this lineup who can hit, which is, you know, most of them, will hit, and the back of their baseball card will pretty much reflect what their seasons are going to look like. So I'm not overly concerned about that. I think where Rob Thompson has to be a little smarter is, yeah, I know it was the Colorado Rockies, and you know, we're kind of looking at that like, you know, they got the Bad News Bears coming in here or something. But if you're going to give Alec Bohm a day off, that's fine. But you can't have Whit Merrifield and Johan Rojas batting eighth and ninth right up against each other because you're giving Alec Bohm a night off. Because when nobody else is hitting and you got those two guys right up against each other, you know, you're going to get what you got last night. So I just think, you know, Topper has to be a little smarter about how he manages the days off and how he manages these guys. And, you know, I think at some point you got to get Weston Wilson up here. I mean, they need another right-handed outfield bat, and if they're not going to trade for one, you know, Weston Wilson is the best hitter of all of these guys. And I just don't know how he didn't break camp with this team. So
I don't know. I mean, it feels like – I mean, they have a redundancy with Pache and Rojas. So can we appreciate the phone call? And, look, I'm not knocking Pache right now. He got a game-winning hit.
Yeah, he came up with a big game last.
It does feel like they're the same player, though. They have doubled the same
player. And that's why – that was the reason why I felt last night. Like, it resonates with me now, Joe, since you said it. The game finds them. And I thought that was going to be a time where the game found him and it was not going to be good. But he came through last night.
Well, he did.
Big time.
And look, they won the game on his hit last night, which was important because, if you know, the tone today is frustration with the offense. Imagine if they lost that game last night.
Boy, it'd have been bad.
Yes, it would have been. And look, they are winning, and they're 9-8, and they have a winning record. It's not terrible. The pitching has been excellent. And I don't think the pitching is going to suddenly fall apart. I think they have a really good pitching staff. But it's just not what we hoped offensively. I've stopped holding my breath expecting the slug and expected everyone to break out. Do I expect Bryce Harper to hit more? Of course I do. Do I expect, you know, Schwarber to get hot with power eventually? Yeah, he's going to hit 40 home runs. He always seems to hit 40 home runs. Everybody else, I don't know if we're getting a lot more than we're getting right now. I think Bohm is a little bit above average. Stott's a little bit above average. Real Muto's a little bit above it. Like, they're all okay. And then we got two guys in the lineup right now that just they can't hit. I mean, Rojas can't hit. And Castellanos
refused to hit.
I'm just
no. You're still stuck. Yeah, you're still stuck on that pitch he was about to chase. Like, what'd you say, 4 feet
in the other batter's box? How do you do that? He's a pro.
He did. He checked his swing though. I guess that's the same.
No, I know, but it was the thought. It was the thought. I know he didn't swing, but you saw he almost did.
No, I did. I did.
And that's absolutely the problem. 215-592-9494. Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
What's going on? What's going on?
What's
hey,
up,
you.
Jay? What's up, man?
Hey, you. Be careful, man. The mole is back in town. The company man.
Who's the company man? You talking about Joe?
I'm the company man?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. He right under them. But I'm talking about Spike.
I got you.
Watch him. Don't nobody come from management back to the show being all – then he's trying to make all rules and bringing up this rule that who is this?
He doesn't get to make rules anymore. He's just one of us now.
I don't know, dog.
No. Those days are over.
It does feel like Spike's slumming a little bit, though.
That's his choice. I mean,
he's feeling. He do feel like he's slumming a little bit, though.
Hey, man, look.
He down here with us commoners.
That's right.
He watching over everything. He was in the boss's office. Now, he was in that chair. Now he's just mingling around everybody. You want to be? No.
What is this, undercover boss at WIP?
I ain't got no beef with Spike. Me and Spike been cool undercover. Since day one.
Yeah, you ain't got no beef. I'm just telling you, watch yourself.
No, I'm just saying. Hey,
he's not a boss anymore. He's just a guy now.
Oh, no, I got your back. I got the memo. Yeah, I'm chilling.
All right, cool. Now, this Phillies lineup, it stinks. They couldn't score against the Colorado Rockies, and that's because your boy was leading off.
Oh, Schwarber's it's Schwarber's sick. Fault. I got you.
It's Schwarber.
Yeah. It's Schwarber, Schwarble, yeah.
Who got the game when it hit?
Pache.
Okay, because he replaced the statue.
Yeah, for pinch running.
He couldn't run.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You get somebody up top of this lineup and make the pitcher think at the top of the lineup, and we'll be cool.
Well, he doesn't make them think with his power leading off. He doesn't make the pitcher think?
Well, look, it all depends on what MV me say.
See, now he's ripping Bryce. Now we're getting. How about MV 3 starts to hit like an MVP? Is it 190?
MV me. That's what it is. MV me is all about him. All his buddies he wanted to sign stink. Everybody. Cassianos. He signed old Realmuto. He done lost his reaction time. Look, pass balls. He done got hit in the net. Everything. Hey, look. All his guys is old and washed up.
They don't look good right now. Hope you're wrong. Jay, are you worried about Jimmy Butler?
Who worried about Jimmy Butler?
Me.
Joe, I should know that.
You worry about everything. Puppy.
You need a
puppy. I worry about people that perform. Geico, he's a performer.
AAA, don't you?
Who's covering Jimmy Butler
Geico,
tomorrow night?
AAA and State Farm. You guys are all nuts.
Do we have amnesia here?
You worry about everything.
Do we have amnesia of what Jimmy Butler does in big games?
Oh, no. We know Jimmy Butler's a baller in the playoffs.
Do we have amnesia about what Joel Embiid does in big games?
We got a coach now.
And so do they. It's even. Coach. It's even tomorrow night coaching.
Okay, but we got a coach. We got the best player in the league.
Nah, that's not true.
I forgot you're a West Coast fan. You like San Francisco and LeBron and all of them.
Well, LeBron's not the best player anymore. The best player in the game is Nikola Jokic. I mean, this was established a year ago, and nothing's changed. He's going to win another MVP. Okay, he's the best player. And Joel doesn't have to be Nikola Jokic to go on a run here. He's in the Western Conference. We'll see him in the finals. The best player in the game, though, is Nikola Jokic. It's amazing the amnesia we have. We agree on things, and then a year later we forget them, and then we come back to them.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing at, but we got the best player in the East. Joel Embiid is the best. Hello, Joe? Joe?
He can be at times.
No, Joe? Mm-hmm. Who's the MVP? The reigning MVP?
Right now, it's Embiid.
Okay, so we got the best player.
But Nikola Jokic is going to win.
No, but we have the best player in the East. That's what I'm saying.
Let me ask you a question. And
you didn't even answer the question. You didn't even acknowledge what I just said.
I acknowledge how great Joel Embiid is in the regular season. In the playoffs, there's other players in the East that are more trustworthy than him. The one is here tomorrow night on Miami. Yeah. I got to see him play great in the playoffs.
I can't argue that. I cannot argue the fact that Jimmy Buckets is – that's why they call him Jimmy Buckets. But Joel Embiid is healthy, and I'm going to hold on to that. You're not taking that away from me. I'm going to hold on to that. And there were flashes, even last year, of Joel Embiid and him having some playoff success. And it looked like he turned the corner.
And then what happened?
I think the James Harden. I'm going to blame it on
James Harden. No, stop.
I'm going to blame it on James
Harden.
Listen, Embiid was garbage in six and seven. This is my narrative.
Oh, God.
And now we have – this is my narrative. Since you like to take narratives, I'm going to take mine. And this is why I feel the way that I feel, because everybody understands their role. Now, everybody understands their assignment. So it's not going to be all this apprehension and all this other stuff going on, because everybody understands their role. And they know that the big kid, Joel Embiid, is the guy. He's the go-to. So it's not going to be a problem.
You ever hear of spring fever?
Yeah.
We get it in Philadelphia once a year when we pretend Joel Embiid.
Is that the same as jungle fever?
I don't know.
A little bit?
It's Joel Embiid fever. We get it every year, and we forget what has happened, and we assume it's not going to happen again.
No, because you can't live in the past. No, you can't. It's not a good place to be.
It's a window into the present. You got to look through it.
No, but it's not a good place to be. Sometimes you have to forgive folks for their past transgressions. And you have to take them for who they are now.
I agree.
I know that takes time.
No, I agree with that, but you don't forget. See, you like to forget.
No, I don't forget. I just choose not to use that as my narrative right now. I'm not going to use that as my narrative.
What was the player that was drafted last year? He said that Paul George
my
was
goat.
His goat. That's yeah, what it sounds like. That was this sounds like Cal Quantrill no, pitch. Well, Paul George
thing.
Is my goat.
Wow, we still it's my narrative.
We just make up whatever
my narrative.
Still going with the Kyle Conklin.
All right,
thing,
time
huh?
out for a second. Kyle, you need to help us put parameters on this bet.
Are we still talking about that?
Yeah, I'm not letting this one go. An hour ago, Hugh said he would bet me that the Phillies will average 6 runs per game this season. And I'm willing to put up, I don't know, we got to make it something wild. Because, like, I am not going to lose this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
6 runs a game.
Okay, I got one for you. You'll probably like this. If you win the bet, I don't know what I want, but if you win the bet, I have to eat. Applesauce important.
I was going to say something like something on Hugh's food takes where we have to start. Like, no, if Hugh loses this, we have to implement a series on the show where it's like an offshoot of Try Day where we get Hugh to try every week all the things.
No, hold up, though. This is a one-off. This can't
no,
be
this
like
good.
The whole
this is good.
Year.
Nope. This is a new segment on the show. Yep.
Oh, man. Y'all are tripping.
But think how exciting this is.
Well, either are you confident in winning your bet or what?
Yeah, every time they
I
score,
am, but it's like
you're happy.
But Kyle, you're trying to make it a whole like thing. I'm just
saying
this
exactly
one
what I'm doing back here, buddy, because you're not winning this bet.
six runs is average a year this year.
All right, here I got.
I feel good with
what
about
do you
that.
Think about this for me?
Okay.
So if the Phillies average less than 6 runs per game for the full season. You have to eat something you don't want to eat, right? Something like this, the tri-day stuff. If the Phillies are under 6 runs a game, which means I win the bet, for a full week, with everything we bring up on the show, I will see only the positive. It will be the glass will be half full everything.
I will take that bet.
Okay? When someone calls and says Joel Embiid, I'll say, let's give him some grace. He's
you
got
know
plenty
what?
Of time
Shut up.
No, I'll do it for everything. Jalen Hurts throws 3 picks. I'll say, you know what? The pressure got to him. I will see the positive in everything.
I
will
like
be
this.
Like all you crazies out there who just live in the clouds.
I kind of like this.
All right?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, dude. Okay. I'm okay with that.
6 runs a game?
6 runs. Averaging. On average. Boy, they better not let me down tonight. Maybe, it starts tonight.
Now, do you have some sort of inside info? They're trading for trout tomorrow?
You know what? Listen, I am so optimistic that I just believe it's going to happen. I have nothing to base this on, but I just believe that this is the time. It's going to happen.
Okay, I'm going to do a little quick math on this. I'm going to see how many runs I have to score on average from here on out.
You know what the bad part about this is? I ain't good at math, and this just feels like – but I feel good about this.
Okay. So the Phillies have scored 60 runs so far this season in, what, 17 games?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to figure out how many they have to score over the next 102 games for Hugh to win this bet. My guess is the number is going to be enormous. they're going to need to put some 10 spots up soon.
Yeah, it's going to be some. They're going to have to start. Yeah, they're going to have to get that. Because if the Braves are averaging like 7 runs a game this far, and I've been seeing games like 9 runs, 8 runs,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. Yeah, they're going to have a couple of those. Definitely.
There's no question. 215-592-9494. We'll keep the phone calls going the final hour. Phillies lineup, is it good? I mean, just is it a good lineup? I don't think it is. I think it's an average lineup. Jimmy Butler, I'm scared of Jimmy heading in tomorrow night. Everyone's calling me names. That's okay. I recognize what this guy does in big moments. And would it be smart for the Eagles to take an offensive lineman in round one? We think it would be. Kyle's screaming at us back there. When we come back, the highly anticipated daily mock from someone who has proven to be very plugged in around the NFL. Who does he see the Eagles taking with a 22nd pick? It's going to make me very excited. I think so. 215-592-949 for Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.